definite estimate of Iraqis who died throughout April 2004 during a month of heightened resistance to the American and British-led occupation may never be known. Associated Press has estimated that over 1,361 Iraqis were killed from April 1st till April 30th, and that at least 136 U.S. troops died during that same period, about one-tenth the amount of Iraqi deaths. A significant amount of the carnage inflicted on Iraqi civilians took place in the city of Fallujah, where official estimates have labeled the number of Iraqi deaths at over 700 during the month of April. The April siege of Fallujah, where Americans unleashed their arsenal of warplanes and tanks, became a symbol of resistance that rallied many Iraqis, Shia and Sunni, and people throughout the world against the occupation. It was also the deadly reality of resistance to the American-led occupation, which was broadcast in images throughout the world, which began to illustrate the bloody reality of the American and British-led military occupation. Importantly, the heightened body counts of Iraqi civilians garnered almost zero response from Western leaders. From Canada to France to Japan, there was almost absolute complicity to what many international organizations are calling American war crimes in Iraq. Throughout April, independent journalist Daher Jamal has been on the ground in Iraq, at a time when the majority of internationals left Iraq. Daher, who spent time in the month of April in both Fallujah and Baghdad, spoke about the current increased resistance to the occupation and the pending American military invasions in Najaf and Fallujah.
In Baghdad, there continues to be sporadic attacks on U.S. patrols. The security situation continues to be horrendous and getting worse, and there's been a lot of increased tension the last couple of weeks, primarily because of the situations in Najaf and Fallujah, which both of those situations today, there's been lots of fighting in both areas, which of course translates to even more tension in Baghdad, because once the fighting breaks out in earnest of either of those areas, everyone here has a very great concern that it will engulf the rest of Iraq.
Now, U.S. forces have threatened that they will be entering Najaf in the coming days. Can you maybe give your perspective as to what that will mean on the ground for especially the Shia majority in Iraq?
Yes, if the U.S. does enter Najaf in force, it basically will translate to a huge percentage of the Shia, even a lot of the people who've been following Sistani, who are right now being told not to fight. But if they do enter Najaf, then most of the people I've been speaking with, the Shia particularly, believe that even Sistani will be unable to keep his people from fighting.
Can you maybe put things into perspective? The facts on the ground are that there is an occupying power in Iraq, a military occupying power, and there is large-scale opposition to that. So maybe could you give your perspective on what a lot of people are calling terrorism from the perspective of somebody on the ground in Iraq currently?
While most Iraqis do not view the resistance fighters as terrorists, not all of them support what is occurring, mainly because so many innocent Iraqis get killed in almost every attack the resistance launches against the foreign occupiers. But I've actually had the opportunity over the last couple of weeks to speak with several Mujahideen, and I actually did an in-depth interview 2 nights ago with one man who is a member of the Mujahideen in Baghdad. And from what he told me, he said that more and more people in the resistance, while resistance started out as Saddam loyalists and Ba'athists, primarily now, he said, the majority of people are people who have simply suffered under the occupation. They've had family members killed, detained, or humiliated by U.S. soldiers. And because of that, more and more average people, even people without military training, are picking up arms and joining the resistance. And that's why the resistance continues to grow. And that's why we see more and more attacks today. Even the U.S. military 2 days ago admitted to receiving 40 attacks per day, and this is increasing.
Now, maybe can you talk about what the facts on the ground are today? We hear about an occupation. We hear about Iraqi civilians losing their lives. We hear about the large-scale attacks which have been taking place by the American military on the resistance fighters. Can you maybe describe for people what that means in concrete terms?
Basically, what it means is U.S. military is running constant patrols through the cities and then lots of convoys across the highways. And these get attacked very regularly by resistance fighters, usually in the form of improvised explosive devices that are timed to go off right when a passing military vehicle goes by. And then oftentimes they're followed up with rocket-propelled grenades or hand grenades and machine guns on the occupiers. But the most unfortunate part about the whole situation is the people paying the heaviest price for these attacks, as well as in the U.S. soldiers' counterattacks, are Iraqi civilians. Usually these attacks occur in cities, so there are almost always civilians around that end up being shot and either killed or wounded during these attacks. So they're really horrible when they occur for basically all parties involved, and primarily the Iraqi civilians.
You have chosen to remain in Iraq as an independent journalist, despite the fact that given the recent escalation of resistance fighting and the kidnappings that have been taking place, many foreigners have left the country. Can you maybe speak about why you've decided to stay in Iraq as an independent journalist?
Yes, the main reason, and I am all too aware of the really horrible security situation now, but the main reason is because now more than ever we need more independent journalism from Iraq. As more and more people do leave, as more and more NGOs and human rights organizations do leave, then it narrows it down to just the corporate media and the military here and very few independent journalists. And I feel like the need to be here and witness what is going on and write about it and get that information out to other people is more important now even than ever before, because there are more atrocities going now. More massacres like in Fallujah, more civilians paying the price. And if there are not independent journalists here witnessing and recording that, then it's just simply not getting out to most people.
Now, you just called what took place recently in Fallujah in regards to the American incursions a massacre. Can you maybe describe what that means? We've heard counts estimated upwards of 600 people were killed by American forces. And Fallujah is not an incredibly large city, so maybe can you talk about what has been happening there?
Fallujah is about 300,000 people. Most people have been evacuated at this point and are refugees in Baghdad. Most of them have been taken in by other families. The city, basically from early April on, when the U.S. launched attacks on the city, they completely sealed it off. It's been suffering collective punishment since then, no electricity and off and on running water, very difficult getting food and medical aid supplies into the city and getting wounded out. I actually went into Fallujah just a couple of weeks ago, riding on a bus that carried in humanitarian supplies for the clinics, and I spoke with Iraqi doctors in Fallujah, and there have been at least 800 people killed. The vast majority have been killed. There are women, children, and elderly and unarmed people. One of the main methods has been U.S. snipers. They're shooting ambulances, intentionally targeting ambulances. There are reports of depleted uranium being used there, as well as cluster bombs. So that is why I do refer to it as a massacre.
In regards to what took place in Fallujah, there are some reports coming out in regards to what you're saying, the targeting of ambulances, the targeting of civilians, of medical workers. Can you maybe go a little bit more, I mean, into depth? Recently, there was an article published which called the events in Fallujah a series of war crimes. Would you say that the events were, in fact, war crimes?
They were. Intentionally targeting ambulances is a direct contravention of the Fourth Geneva Convention. The use of depleted uranium is, of course. And I actually even had a couple of friends who rode out in an ambulance to try to help collect wounded Iraqis, and they were shot and fired upon by U.S. soldiers while they were in the ambulance. The ambulance even took a bullet, and they dove down for cover in the back of the ambulance. Many Red Crescent ambulance drivers, as well as other ambulance drivers, have been shot and wounded and filed formal complaints about it. Even the Iraqi Minister of Health himself, during a press conference just the other week, expressed his extreme anger and said that he personally had pushed Bremer, as well as other CPA authorities, for an explanation as to why these ambulances are being targeted. Women and children, when I was in there, I saw many women and children who'd been shot by U.S. snipers being brought into the clinic. The majority of them were dying, even though they were being operated on in this makeshift clinic by Iraqi doctors. So it's really a horrendous situation. But like I said, many families have been able to leave, but unfortunately, those who have not been able to are trapped in there without hardly any food and water, and it's a very dire situation, definitely a humanitarian crisis.
If you had a message to convey to people in North America in regards to what is taking place, what would that be? What do you feel that it is important for people to do here in regards to combating these disasters, these acts of war crimes which are taking place?
Well, I think the most important thing is holding the people in power accountable for what is being done in everyone's name, and what everyone's tax dollars are being used for, as 51% of all Americans' taxes do go to the military, and probably working as hard as possible for regime change in America in 2004, and then not only regime change, but holding the next person, even if it is John Kerry, holding him accountable for what is occurring in Iraq, and making sure that we have a 180-degree policy change here, because everything that the U.S. has done here has been an absolute disaster. There has been very little good to come from the situation here, and as we're seeing on a daily basis, it's continuing to get worse. And if the U.S. military does go into Najaf, then the entire country outside of Kurdistan will be at war. That seems like an inevitable thing to occur at this point. So people at home need to be working as hard as they can, pushing their politicians by every method possible, as far as telephone calls, emails, letters, demonstrations, going to their offices and talking with them and informing them of the situation here, and ask them what they're going to do about it, particularly in light that it is an election year. So everyone at home needs to be doing everything possible to help hold people accountable who have led us into this really horrendous situation in Iraq. I can't stress how absolutely horrendous it is here, even in Baghdad, on a daily basis today.
What do you see as taking place in the coming weeks? I mean, there's a lot of reports that are coming out. We talked about the potential raid on Najaf. There's a continued bombardment of Fallujah. What do you see taking place from the perspective of somebody who has spent a significant amount of time over the last 6 months on the ground in Iraq?
Well, from my perspective, it seems clear that the military is running the show here. There's very little diplomacy going on, and I see a full invasion of Fallujah any day now, and probably a rather large invasion of Najaf in the not-so-distant future as well. In fact, even today, even just a few hours ago in Najaf, U.S. forces engaged a lot of Muqtada Sadr's militia, and there was heavy fighting, about 3 or 4 hours of heavy fighting, and about 40 of the militia members were killed. No reports on U.S. soldiers yet. So, and this is already down in Najaf, where the U.S. has been moving into the Spanish base, which is being evacuated as the Spanish are pulling out. But this is even occurring here right now today. So it seems like it's a very tense situation, and the way things have gone in the past, these have only erupted into even more intense fighting.
Oh, You have been listening to an interview with Daher Jamal, an independent journalist who has been on the ground in Iraq throughout the month of April, at a time when the majority of internationals have left. Daher spent time during the month of April in both Fallujah and Baghdad. He spoke about the current increased resistance to the American and British-led occupation and the pending American military invasions of Najaf and Fallujah. To read written reports from Daher Jamal and independent journalism illustrating the current occupation of Iraq, visit www.thenewsstandard.org or www.electronicirock.net. This report was recorded and produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christophe.